The last time I was pregnant was 17 years ago, and my body still isn't like it was before I had kids. When we're pregnant, our bodies change to help the baby grow and to get ready to give birth, obviously. Our heart pumps more blood to give the baby and placenta what they need. This makes a mother's heart beat faster, and it increases the amount of blood in her body. Plus, the baby takes up space, as you know, and that pushes mom's lungs higher in her body. That makes it harder to take deep breaths. Then there are the hormonal changes that affect how muscles work. The hormones loosen every ligament in the body so that the pelvis can stretch out. But you do get to eat more food because the body burns more calories. After the baby is born, the body needs time to heal from all those crowded months of making room for a human inside your pelvis. The time after having a baby is called the postpartum period. And while every woman is going to experience this in a different way, it's a very unique time. It's a time to adapt. I don't want to say that we recover from pregnancy and childbirth, because the truth is, nothing's ever going to be the same. In fact, it's possible it could be better. No matter what, your body and your life are going to be different. Today, I'm visiting Deb Flaschenberg at the Prenatal Yoga Center to learn her approach to preparing for birth and addressing your aches and pains during this postpartum period. Her work even applies if you're 17 years postpartum. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the pediatrician next door. I'm that doctor friend you call for practical advice about your kid's health. I mix the science of medicine with the reality of parenting. At the Prenatal Yoga Center on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in New York, Deb Flaschenberg has created a community that combines yoga with childbirth education to support women through pregnancy, childbirth, and even into parenthood. This is one place you can find support to prevent and treat the aches and pains of pregnancy, no matter when you are pregnant, and even if you live in California or Alaska, because they offer online classes every day. Deb Flaschenberg hosts the Yoga Birth Babies podcast, and she joined me to share what she has learned. What are the effective remedies that you have found to alleviate new mother's pain?
A lot of it goes back to strengthening, alignment, and really good breathing. So if we think about during pregnancy, the body is changing. You know, we've got with the belly growing, we get more of an anterior tip of the pelvis, and we get more sway of the back. And then we got more rounding of the upper back, and then what I call chicken neck, with the head sticking out and the neck getting tight. And so as the spine changes, that's going to change how the rib cage works and how the pelvis functions. And then also the abdomen that stretches out. So you lose some core strength, and then the back body is working really hard to keep everything more upright. So postpartum, we need to find our alignment again. So most of the time, thinking about holding a baby, you know, you're holding your baby, you're ending up pushing your hips forward, leaning your chest back. So we want to realign, we want to get that pelvis back in alignment, move the thigh bones back, stack the rib cage. So once we get the alignment, then we can also work on breathing. During pregnancy, we tend to lose a lot of back rib mobility. So getting into those back ribs, it's kind of fascinating. When I started to study the physiology of the postpartum body, it actually feels like that needs, not that it needs more attention, that's not the right thing, but it needs attention. I don't think it gets it. I think oftentimes baby comes out and we're like, oh, you're done. You're now a parent and now you have this baby. But the postpartum body really needs rehab. And I'll try not to go on a tangent, but I feel like we're one of the few places that, I mean, like in France, you get pelvic floor PT, and like other countries, like it's expected to heal the postpartum body, but we don't really do that here. So sorry, I went on a tangent for that.
No, I'm fascinated by this because I am literally 16 years postpartum. And just in my own body, I know exactly what you're talking about. We all have that anterior pelvic tilt. So the fronts of our hips kind of lean forward. We arch our low back. And I was having so much hip pain. I recently actually did go to physical therapy, 16 years postpartum. And everything you're saying just really aligns with what the therapist told me. And that is breathing into your back body. So expanding those posterior ribs, because all of us, we just tend to lean forward. Our liver gets heavier on our right side and actually twists our pelvis. And I love your concept of really paying attention to postpartum rehabilitation. You're pregnant for 9 months.
Yeah.
You've got to give yourself at least that long to recover and get your body back, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I get a little bit infuriated when at 6 weeks it's declared, oh, you're fine. Just go back to what you did. You know, you're healed. And it's no, I think that really sets people up for failure because they think that they're all good. They think they're ready to go. And then they may push things too hard because it takes a while for the body, I don't want to use the word bounce back, but to rehab itself. We really need to strengthen postpartum. In fact, I actually think a lot of people need strengthening because there's so much sitting in our culture for the most part. I'm making big, broad generalizations. But when we don't have strength in the hips and the posterior chain of the glutes, pelvic floor gets really tight. That causes dysfunction. Our breathing gets really funky. We end up with a lot of headaches and chronic neck pain and shoulder pain. So if we can work a little bit more in strengthening, especially postpartum, I think overall we're going to be healthier. And as a new parent, it's such a new transformation that emotionally, it's a huge transformation as well. If we can take some of the obstacles of postpartum away, that we can focus on more of the emotional side, I think it would be, you know, better for it.
I was going to ask you exactly that, is that how can you possibly incorporate some of these things into your daily life as a busy new mom?
I think one of the best things, little bite-sized pieces. So not trying to think, oh my gosh, I have to unroll my yoga mat for 90 minutes. You know, that might feel like too much, especially as a new parent. You're like thinking, all right, I just want to take a shower. My baby's asleep. When am I going to do that? So little bite-sized pieces. Like we do, our classes are an hour and a half, but we also send out the video. And I know moms have told me they'll do like 10 minutes at a time. And that's all they can do. So I guess lower the expectations and then just do little tiny bits when you can. And then, you know, balance it. Maybe one time you're working on just reconnecting to your breath. And maybe one time you're working on releasing upper back and shoulder tension. And then maybe another 10 minutes you're working on hamstrings and glutes. So not trying to take the whole thing on at once, because that could feel, if it's too overwhelming, then you'll never get to it because you'll just keep putting it off. I don't have an hour and a half to do that. So yeah, little pieces.
Well, and recognizing that it needs to be a priority. It's not just about you feeling better. It's about you being a better parent. Because when we're in pain, it's so hard to be present.
Yeah.
And you've already got this, you know, baby you have to take care of. It's interesting too, because the prenatal and the postpartum body, the physiology is really different than another time in a woman's life. So those hormonal effects, and besides your breast being larger and putting you off balance, but your ligaments are looser, right? So how do you address those kinds of things? And I think it's amazing that you have a specialty in this kind of period of the life.
A lot of it goes back to strength and alignment again. You know, so if you have looser joints, what are we doing? How are we making our transitions? But are we also keeping things stronger? So let's think about the pelvis. We've got, the pelvis is mainly three bones. You've got your two innominate bones, and then you have your sacrum into your tailbone. And those can get really loose during postpartum and pregnancy. But if we have a lot of the supporting muscles stronger, the glutes are, you know, three major muscle groups. And then we've got the hamstrings, the inner thighs, the outer thighs. So if those are more stable and strong, it's going to help stabilize the pelvis. So we do a lot of strength, which is funny because people are like, I just thought it was yoga, especially prenatal. And my whole philosophy is that one, pregnancy is not the easiest. Birth, no matter how you go about it, takes work. And then we want to be prepared for postpartum. So of course we stretch and relax, but I like to really work on building sensation and strength. Also, because no matter how you choose to birth, we need to raise our threshold of how we react to discomfort. I think that when I was first a doula and I was observing people, the more I leaned into that in our prenatal classes, I think the easier time we kind of conditioned ourselves of what is discomfort, what is pain, where's your tolerance. And so that's something we also try to look at. You know, if you're feeling uncomfortable in a pose, what would happen if you just focus a little bit more on a coping skill? And then also know, like, nope, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Like, know where your line is. You don't have to have everything exactly as it is. You can be uncomfortable and still be okay. You may not get exactly what you want all the time and be okay. And I think that that's something we can learn in yoga. I know for me, like, how many times have I desperately wanted to be going to bed and my kids need something and I have to like brace myself and be like, okay, you can get through this. Like a contraction, like when your baby's crying and you've done all your tricks and you just have to work your way through it. When a toddler's having a meltdown, when my 12-year-old is having a meltdown, I often call upon some of the same tools. Ground myself, breathe, be open, what's happening? You know, how can I move through it? I think these are, not to sound too cheesy, but kind of lifelong tools that I think aren't always, let's say, taught or focused on, you know, building our threshold of discomfort.
I call this, and I'm sure you do too, I think yogis call it taking the lessons off the mat.
Yes.
Right? You carry this into the rest of your life. So even if you do 5-10 minutes or an hour and a half, focusing on the lessons that you can take away from it, not just the physical sensations.
Definitely. And community, doing it together sometimes. You know, sometimes we have people that do it online later. Sometimes we have people doing it in the studio. I think also just feeling seen and relating to others can also help that.
Whatever your body's aches or pains are, if it's stiffness, worries about your posture, just know you're not alone and you can work toward healing yourself. Deb Flaschenberg has spent her entire adult life learning all the modalities of how your body can prepare for birth and how to get better after having a baby. She's brought together all of these resources at the Prenatal Yoga Center in New York, but many of the resources she has found are available to you too. We talked about a few specific conditions that are common. One is wrist pain, which I've had several new moms in my clinic tell me that it's been an issue for them. One of my patients' mothers even had surgery on her wrist because of postpartum swelling and pain. It leaves me wondering if strength and flexibility might have helped her. Developing strength and working on mobility in the wrists or any joint takes effort and time that I know a lot of new parents don't have. But as Deb has said, be patient with yourself. We also talked about a condition called rectus abdominis diastasis. The rectus abdominis, it's not the name of a dinosaur. It's what we call the abs. It's your six-pack, the muscles that cross your abdomen. And a diastasis is when the linea alba, that's the tendinous fiber band that connects the left and the right side of your abs, it stretches out. If you ultrasound a whole bunch of pregnant women, 100% of them have stretching of this band at 36 weeks of pregnancy. And if you ultrasound again at 6 months after delivery, more than 1 in 3 women will still have separation of that line. So it's really common to have a diastasis. But studies also show you can heal this and bring those ab muscles back together with exercises that strengthen the muscles. These are simple exercises like laying on your back and lifting your knees to your chest, or alternating, bringing your knees to chest while you're on your hands and knees. The same studies show that exercise during and before pregnancy prevent having a diastasis after the baby is born. Deb and I talked a little more about this. How do you work on a diastasis?
A lot of it goes back to posture and breathing.
And strength.
And learning, especially posture. So if you're in this huge rib flare, meaning like your ribs are poking out, and then when you breathe, if you put pressure into that front line, that linea alba, that connective tissue, that's not going to help it heal. So can we align the pelvis and the ribs? Where's the breathing? Is in the back ribs, you know, or is it pushing forward? Does someone have the pattern of squeezing their abs all the time? Do they have strength? Can they generate strength and support in their abs? And it's not just the core, it's their back muscles, the pelvic floor, the diaphragm. So it's not something that we want to just think we can heal in a day. And everybody handles how to heal a diastasis differently. Like, is it a upper, middle, lower, is it the whole thing? So it's pretty individualized, but a lot of it comes back to breath and posture.
How can these practices also help new moms manage their stress?
Well, we know a lot, you know, in science and studies have talked about learning how to regulate your breathing is going to help you regulate your nervous system. It's going to move you out of the sympathetic, the fight or flight, and move you into the parasympathetic. So I think learning how to connect to your breath, and it's funny because you can always say to someone, breathe, but they may not even know exactly what that means. So learning how to slow your breath down, we do different pranayamas, which is like different breathing exercises. So if you really want to shift more into that parasympathetic, the rest and relax, we're elongating the exhale. And then sometimes I'll put words to it, like mantra breathing. One of my favorites is let go, inhale, let, exhale, go. Others are just really feeling your body. I know sometimes when I get really overwhelmed, I feel just in my head. And so one tool is literally if you're standing, feel your feet, touch the ground, bring yourself out of your head into your body. I used to be a performer and I remembered many times going into an audition and standing in front of the directors and stuff and not feeling my body. I was so stressed. And one of the tools I used back then was feel your feet, feel your breath, feel your legs, be in the space, be in the room. And that would bring me in and that would lower my stress. So I think that's a great tool for anyone.
Tell me about Baby and Me at your studio.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. So Baby and Me and postnatal are some of my favorites. So the baby gets involved in it. It's such a cute class. So while they're not necessarily doing yoga because, you know, they're babies, it's a way for the parent to interact. So that one's an hour-long class where babies are invited and the parents are getting back into their body. They're working on some of their aches and pains, but babies are included. So they get a lot of sensory touch. We do a lot of strokes of the body, milking of the arms, rubbing of the belly. So some of this can be used if they're gassy. Mm-hmm. It's just a really fun, interactive class. I know a lot of the parents in New York City that are working go back to work, you know, anywhere from like 8 to 16 weeks, and they want a time that they can connect with their child and still get some exercise. So that's where Baby and Me is really fun.
Deb created and grew the prenatal yoga center for years before she even had children herself. I asked how things changed after she had children.
I think the biggest change was understanding postpartum on a very different level. Like I saw it. I saw what postpartum looked like, but I saw it. It's going to sound horrible because I always tell my students, you never have to be a parent to be a great prenatal teacher. And I truly believe that, mm-hmm. But I had a different, like you said, empathy. I had a different perspective of how hard the transition into parenthood can be. So many different things change. Your relationship changes. Your body's changed. My whole understanding of responsibility and time changed. It's this massive transition. The responsibility of, oh, I can just run out and grab an iced coffee and a bagel. That doesn't happen when you have like a 6-week baby. Like getting out of the house took like an hour.
I am so inspired by Deb's passion for helping women, particularly because of her background. Listen to what she told me about how she got into this. I've always thought that if you follow your passion, you'll end up where you belong and you'll find success. And she's a great example of this.
I was 28, which is kind of funny because I have a degree in musical theater. Like I have a BFA from a music conservatory, not even like a liberal arts school. And I was singing and dancing. And I met someone that had also been a singer dancer and opened a yoga studio. And I started practicing there. And then I got into prenatal yoga. And then I just thought, why don't I open a studio? And there was this open space across the street from the studio I was practicing at. And I got a couple of friends together and they were my silent partners. They were the owner of the studio that I was practicing at. And I just decided at 28 that I was going to open a yoga studio. It was really fun, especially because I hadn't had kids at that point. And all I wanted to do was learn. And because I didn't have the responsibility of family at that time, I could just use my students as my teachers and I would just watch and listen. And then I became a labor support doula. So I learned even more kind of like on the job and really in the trenches of birth. And then I became a Lamaze teacher. Like, I just wanted to learn how to support pregnant folks and help them advocate for the birth that they wanted for themselves, not what someone else wanted for them. And I just, the more education I got, the more I could pour into our classes so that it wasn't just yoga. Like, we would interweave childbirth education themes so they would know questions to ask their care provider. They would know that they don't have to birth on their back, that there's other options. They would know that maybe they can ask for intermittent monitoring if all was going well. Like, I just wanted to educate myself to educate my students. And it was actually very fortunate that I didn't have kids for a while. I had my first at 37 so that I could really dedicate to building my studio, which has really been my passion. To help people make choices for themselves is absolutely my passion.
Did you expand your offerings at the center after you had a baby?
No, actually, my original vision was always very full. So even before, so we always offered pre and postnatal, baby and me. We have a baby fingers class that we've been offering for at least the last 20 years as baby sign language. I always wanted to offer workshops. So we, from the opening, we had childbirth ed, infant safety, CPR, breastfeeding, newborn care. So we always had the workshops to help prepare for birth and parenting. We had the thing that did expand about 5 or 6 years in is I started teaching teacher training. So as I refined my methodology of what I was teaching, I then have been teaching teachers how to teach it for the last like 16-ish years. But yeah, everything is from the beginning. My focus was education, community, and using yoga for many tools to help prepare for pregnancy and birth and parenthood.
You're at the prenatal yoga center. Do parents need to look specifically for that?
Yeah, so that's my studio. It's called Prenatal Yoga Center. We're on the Upper West Side in New York. And we also have online classes every day. So that was actually something we started when COVID, like a little before COVID really hit. I kind of saw it coming and I'm like, let's learn how to do this. And it's been amazing, actually, being able to do our online stuff because we have people that come from different countries. We have people come from different states. And then we have some people, like yesterday's class, we had a student, she's like, I'm in Southern Brooklyn. I don't want to have to go all the way to the Upper West Side. It's like an hour on the subway. And yet she's still part of our community because she can join online. So it's really fun.
So anyone can join Prenatal Yoga Center online?
Anyone. Yes.
The Prenatal Yoga Center offers so much. And Deb explores all the questions she has so you can learn along with her on her podcast called Yoga Birth Babies. Of all the things she knows, here's the one thought to keep in mind.
If you think that it took 38, 42 weeks, somewhere in there to create this baby and for your body to adapt to that, it's going to take a while for your body to adjust back and to not have, I don't want to say huge expectations, but just to be kind to yourself as you rebuild because your responsibilities have changed, your sleep has changed, so much has changed. So we didn't just snap your fingers at 6 weeks and everything comes back. So just kindness and grace to yourself.
For more from the Pediatrician Next Door, find me on the web at pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com. If you've got a question about the weird things kids do, send an email to hello@pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com for a chance to hear your voice on the show. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the Pediatrician Next Door. This show is produced by Red Rock Music. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever it is you're listening. I'll be back next time with more.